Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and your New Testament back up. All right, Ezekiel chapter 36. Good to have a good friend with us here. Drove, I saw him on the side of the road. That's a pretty bad place to see a guy on the side of the road. With his big old blue truck. I used to drive semi, so I have a heart for these guys. Where are you from, brother?
Orlando, Florida.
Amen. I've got a lot of cousins on that Orange County Sheriff's office there. Amen. Glad to have you, brother. I said, hey, when you want to pull in, just pull in. He said, well, I'm heading up, get this thing cleaned up. I'll be back at church. I said, amen. So you never know where you find a new friend. Amen. So glad to have you. Let's all stand to read the Bible tonight. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. If you can stand, give God the honor of the word. That's wonderful. If you can't, just hang on there. We'll be all right. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning at verse 26. Look what God promises us when we get saved. And a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight as we look in the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of getting saved. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we get to have you in our heart. You take away that old stony heart that nothing can grow on. And, Lord, you give us a heart of flesh. And we do thank you, Lord Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you help us to walk in your statutes in the Word of God. And you help us to keep your judgments and to do them. And, Lord, thank you. We need your help. We're human, and we have a hard time keeping those things that you've given us to keep. But, Lord God, with your help, you will. We will. So thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you're looking for a title, I would title this sermon, The Results of New Birth, Results of Salvation, Results of Getting Saved. A tall, well-dressed Christian gentleman was on a train going to a meeting, and the train pulled up to the town that he was to get off, and he stopped on, saw a little boy come close to him on the platform with a basket of fruit. And shouting, apples, oranges, 5 cents apiece, 3 for a dime. A thoughtless passenger rushed out with his baggage and hit and very carelessly bumped the little boy, and he spilled his basket of fruit on the platform. As a Christian gentleman got off the plane, he saw the situation in a glance, and he bent over and began to pick up the little boy's fruit and put it back in the basket. He put it all in the basket, and then he put in his hand, some money in his hand. And the little boy, little dirty, little ragged street urchin, had been cuffed and cursed and kicked around and spit upon, but he had never been treated so kindly before in his life. The stranger, with his act of kindness, completely overwhelmed the little boy, and he stood almost breathless for a moment. And after the stranger had given him a piece of money, the boy with large brown eyes looked up in his face and he said, Mister, be you Jesus? Mister, be you Jesus? And the Christian gentleman said, no, son, I'm just one of his boys. I'm just one of his boys. You know, that really touches my heart to the fact that we Christians should be his boys and his little girls, doing our job for him. This is a tough old world. Everybody's got trouble. Everybody's got a problem. Everybody's going through a battle. Everybody's having a fight. They know which way to turn. They've never been down these roads before. And everybody needs a Christian gentleman that you could say, Mister, be you Jesus? Be you Jesus? And we should say, no, son, I'm just one of his boys. That poor, dirty, ragged street urchin recognized the stranger's family resemblance It is not the question of our family's training or money, where you are from, or perhaps the people you are from. It's the characteristic we exhibit of one of God's sons. If we have been definitely and positively and instantaneously regenerated and converted, I'm talking about being saved. My mom would say, that boy really got saved. If we have been spiritually and drastically changed from the old life into the family of God, we should naturally bear family resemblance. The other day I was looking at Brother Clyde's children, and I kind of chuckled. I looked at them, and I'd never seen them like that before. The little girl, she was just kind of looking up at me, and I said, good night. These kids didn't fall very far from the tree. They all resemble each other. I mean, they're no kidding. Well, same with your kids, you know. Just all of our kids, you know, they all look like, they all look the same. Look like they come out of the same mold, same stamp, amen. Well, I know they came out of the same oven, amen. But anyway, we just praise God for that, amen. And well, we as Christians, we ought to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a terrible thing that so many Christians today resemble Satan, the demons of hell. Their meanness and their cantankerness and their just vileness. And they call themselves Christians. I question that. For the Bible says, you shall know them by their works, by their fruit. Jesus said, you shall know them. First of all, when a person becomes born from above, he receives a new heart. Here Ezekiel said, hey, he, the stony flesh, that stony old heart is removed. He's given a heart of flesh, a pliable heart. When I was growing up, we had a music director in our church whose name was Milton Tolley. We used to call him affectionately Uncle Milty. Milton Tolley taught me how to play a trumpet. Milton Tolley was a magnificent musician. His wife is a wonderful musician. They're just wonderful people. They had six girls, and then they finally had their boy, amen. But I used to go over to his house every Monday night for trumpet practice. And I, of course, went away to college, and then from college I took first church and next church and moved out here, and all of a sudden Milton Tolley had a heart problem. Somehow the sac around his heart had calcified. And they had to go in and take the pericardia. They had to take that sac away from his heart. That sac that covers our heart, keeps our heart from getting viruses and things. It's very important for us. It also lubricates it. But he lived for another 10 years, but they said that his heart was becoming like stone. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a terrible thing when that happens. He was very sick, very ill. They thought he was going to die. It was a terrible thing. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, us Christians, we need to keep our hearts soft. We need to keep our hearts soft. My heart just bubbled over this morning when Chris, tears streaming down his eye, and his sweet little to-be wife at that time wiped his eye. And I thought, man, there's a real man. See, real men can cry without being embarrassed. Real men can cry without being embarrassed. Now, you wimpy guys, don't do that. All right. So, a new heart. One of the first results in the new birth is a change of heart. God said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Let me tell you that the greatest need in present day religion is heart religion. We need some heart religion. We need some people that are tender-hearted, forgiven one another. We have a lot of head professions, but I'm praying that God will give us a heart possession. There was some shoddy contractors who are literally what we call them scabs. they bill you for material that they do not need, and they take it to the next job and bill them too. They have learned tricks of covering up flaws and defects in materials with carpet and tar and sheetrock and putty and paint. But in the end, the homeowner gets stiffed, and you have to fix, and it costs you more to fix it than it would have been to have a good carpenter take care of it. Sometimes the craftsman is so bad he cannot be straightened nor repaired nor recoup for his loss for trusting a contractor who shouldn't ever be in the business. A car may be beautifully designed and the horn may sound good, but the real test is inside that engine. A travel bus may be nicely painted and well cushioned, but the question is, can it climb the hill loaded with passengers? Machinery under the hood tells the story. The other day when my wife fell at camp and a couple days later I took her to an emergency room and the nurse said, "You haven't been here for 5 years." I said, "That's right." She said, "Well, that's incredible." She said, haven't had your wife in the hospital for 5 years. I said, she said, "You know, sometimes it's good to look under the hood." That's what she said. And they gave her a battery of tests that I've never seen. I mean, they worked on her for five hours, poking her and taking blood, and then finally they did check the x-rays. You know, sometimes it'd be good that we looked under the hood. Sometimes it'd be good to just say, "Hey, why am I in church? Why am I doing this? Why am I acting this way?" There should be a reason for everything we do and everything we say. So the supreme test of religion is not the tongue, the outward show, but it's the heart. We have all heard and witnessed mouth religion, tongues rattle, but the most important thing is heart purity and holiness. One man came up to D.L. Moody one time and said, "Sir, I want you to know I'm a great Christian." He said, "Sir, your life thunders so loud I can't hear a word you're saying." And you'll see people like that. "Oh, they're the most wonderful thing that God ever blessed you with." And they act like a raving lunatic. One thing goes wrong and they go crazy. I think Jesus said about, "Hey, if your faith fails in time of trouble, you know, what's going to happen when the real trouble comes?" Many people would do well to pray the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 80, "Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed." You can take a criminal, and you can take an unsaved university professor and feed them the best choice vegetables and the best cereals and exercise them regularly and give them well-ventilated room and a place with the very best surrounding, but the heart will remain sinful until God is given the opportunity to regenerate it by the dividing power of the new birth. There's absolutely no power in surroundings or influence. Only the new birth can make a Paul out of a Saul, make a saint out of an ain't, out of a drunkard. So wonderful is the transformation that is wrought in man by the new birth that the entire world sees him different. The life takes on a new meaning. God is loved supremely. His will becomes the supreme desire of his heart. God's will says, they say, "Listen, God's will is the supreme desire of my heart. Not my will anymore, it's thine will, Lord." The hour of prayer is strengthening and refreshing. There is a longing to assemble with God's people in church house and to share the blessing of Christian fellowship. There's just something about that, just getting together, amen. Secondly, there's a new relationship. Not only a new heart, but a new relationship. We are made kings and priests, the Bible says. When you got saved 2 weeks ago, you became a king and a priest. Isn't that incredible? It's incredible. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his blood, and hath made us, get it now, made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, and to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You don't need a priest to confess your sins. You're your own priest now. God made you. You go to him. You don't have to tell somebody what you did and have him blab it all over, or have him know that. No, you just go to God. Say, dear God, good morning, Lord. This is one of your priests. And I got to do some things. I got to do some business with you, Lord. There's some things I've been doing, and I want you to forgive me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for that. Secondly, we are made sons of God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Anybody here, any of you were adopted when you were a child? Anybody adopted? They just wouldn't have you, huh? Okay. So what's the thing about adoption? Last year, we had a family in our church. Brother, help me. Huh? Wall. His wife left him with a little baby boy. She was on drugs, just left him. And he had to raise this little boy. Well, all of a sudden he met Phoebe. And Phoebe, of course, loved this little guy with all her heart. And so they arranged it. The mother did not want anything to do with her baby. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't understand that. I don't understand that. I can't understand a father wanting to do that. But anyway, it happens. And so I went down to the courthouse with him. And we met with the judge. And what's the little guy's name? Logan. Logan. He said, Logan, do you know what you're about to do? And Logan said, yes, sir. He said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to get me a mama that loves me. Yes, the tears started streaming down my eyes. And he says, are you sure about this? And Logan, you know, he sounds like a Philadelphia lawyer, you know. Yes, sir, I am, Judge. And he said, and the judge has the power invested in me by the state of Montana. You now have a mama that loves you. Thank you. Sign the papers. Simple as that. Do you know that any time you look back in the records of Logan, his mother will be Phoebe? And when Phoebe passes away and may have some things, they'll all go to that boy. That's an incredible thing. Now let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something bigger. God in heaven says to redeem them that are under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, everything that God has becomes ours. I think he's got a few things. In fact, I think he's got enough for everybody. And we become the sons of God. Before we were born again, we were the children of Satan. And I certainly don't want none of his junk, amen. Before we were born again, we were the children of Satan. And Jesus, given the parable of the sower, stated, the field of this world and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Jesus also said that those who were boasting of the fact that they were Abraham's seed, ye are your fathers, the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye do will. John chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. for his purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. What a gracious thing it is, both now and for eternity, that we are born again and the children of the God of the universe. Wow, powerful. Paul said, Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When I was a little boy, my dad had just bought a bunch of cattle from his other farmer. The farmer had passed away, and they had an estate sale, and my dad bought these cattle. Didn't know anything about them, and brought them onto our farm and put them in our corrals, and it was my job to feed the cattle and the chickens and the pigs and whatever else my daddy told me to do. And what was I supposed to say? Yes, sir. And so I was out feeding the cattle, and there's a hay mow right above the feed bunk, and I was up there, and I threw some hay down in the field, and I was taking the strings off these bales of hay, and there's a little calf, just a little calf. He wasn't a week old. Shiny black nose. They were Angus cattle, and shiny black nose, and I reached over there and touched the little cute little thing on the nose and went, bah. Well, when it went, bah, it must have had a buzzer like at the bank when somebody's going to rob you. It punched that buzzer. And old mama come around and, oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm not kidding you. Not only bulls do the eyes have fire. Mama cows have fire. She came at me and she jumped right, I mean, her two hoofs got in front, and she was trying to get at me. And I grabbed the climb back up into that, up in the upper loft. And I was so scared I couldn't even spit. I was, that cow was just going crazy. And all of a sudden I said, Daddy! I'm about 14 years old. I call my dad Daddy. That dog come out. My dad came around the corner and she was moving north and he hit her in the south and Kyle ran away and my dad said, son, I'm sorry. I didn't know these cattle. I will never have any cow that would hurt my son. Next day he put her on the truck with that calf and sold her at Breckenridge at the market. I couldn't remember the last time I called him Daddy until that day. 14 years old, big goofy guy, you know. I called my daddy Daddy. It is my prayer that every one of you who are now living in sin under the dominion of Satan, that you will turn from Satan and come back to Christ and become a son of God. Every born-again individual has God as his father, Christ as his elder brother, and we are heirs to God and joint heirs to Christ with all the treasuries and all the possessions and all the powers of heaven, all the powers of eternity. Surely, the infinite better is to be a son of God rather than a slave and a dupe of Satan. From becoming a son of God, we naturally sustain all new relationship and fellowship with Christians. That's why someone said to me, he said, preacher, when I got saved and now I got all these bad friends of you, I'll tell you what, they won't hang around very long. Oh, you just have to say, you know what, I'm a Christian. I have Jesus in my heart. I got born again. Glory to God. And they're going to say, whew. You're scary, dude. They'll stay away from you. They don't want nothing to do with you. Oh, yeah. Man, I go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I don't miss Sunday school. I don't miss church. I go. Man, I go. Man, there's anything going on in church, I'm there. And they say, when are you going to go to the bar? Hey, man, I don't got time to go to the bar. In fact, I don't have time to go spend money on bar. I got to give my tithe. Yeah, I'll guarantee you, your friends will change real quick. Once you say, I've had Jesus in my heart, and they say, you are weird. And you could say, you're going to hell. I wouldn't do that. But anyway. But there's an idea. When somebody gets saved, you make sure that you publicize that. Publicizing it, number one, is getting baptized. You show to everybody that you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day. That's baptism. Down in the water and up out of the water. What a beautiful example. Paul wrote over there in Romans chapter 6, he says, so many of us were buried in the likeness of death, were raised in the likeness of resurrection. Then he says, we were planted and we rose up. That's for some guys who couldn't get it. And he said, most of you farmers know, you put the seed in the ground and it comes up. Well, Jesus Christ died and he came up. And I'm just telling you, I believe that with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. By the way, I'll never leave it. I'll never lose it. Once you get saved, you're always saved. You may drift, you may go away, but your name is still written in the book of life. And it's written in indelible ink. It cannot come out of there. The Bible said, these things ever written unto you, believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You don't lose it. I never wanted to not be the son of Claire Shear. I'm sure he kind of wondered about wanting to be the father of Sheldon Shear. My dad had a scripture verse in the Bible. It was his favorite verse. It says, dear God, deliver me. My son is a lunatic. But anyway, there are days when Paul endeavored to stamp out Christianity. He was trying to liquidate the church. But after he met Jesus at Damascus Road, there he was born over. There he is born again. In his heart, a fervent, sacrificing love for all of the children of God. It changed him. After the Philippine jailer accepted Christ. Did I say Philippine? Philippians. Yeah, he's over there, man. Filipinos, they're every place, man. The Philippian jailer, thank you for humoring me. The Philippian jailer accepted Christ. There was a love in the heart for Paul and Silas that he had just beat. Immediately after the earthquake that split the... I got to say, I'm careful with it. I can't even say it now. Philippians. There you go. Philippian jail wide open. And the jailer had accepted Christ. He took Paul and Silas to his home. Listen to what the Bible said. And washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, these are men that were in prison. But he got saved. Lights came on. Amen. And he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God and all his house. Boy, it's just something about getting born again. It's just something about getting born from above. It's just something about getting saved, amen. That your life changes. No more you want to go to the place you used to go. No more you want to say the things you used to say. No more the things you want to cheat and steal and use vulgar languages. You don't want to do that anymore. There's a change in your heart. What? Your heart has become flesh. It changed. And if it hasn't changed, I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for you that you could walk like you walk. And you talk like you talk. And you act like you act. And God does not take you over his lap and use the wooden spoon on you. I was with the family the other day, a while back. And something happened. The kid was doing something wrong. And the wife said, honey, give me the Elmer. I said, after it was all over and I've seen what Elmer was, I said, why'd you call that Elmer? I said, that's a glue stick. I said, you ever hit yourself with that glue stick? I don't think you ought to hit your kid unless you hit yourself with that glue stick. And let me help you. Let me just show you how bad that hurts. Stay out of my preaching. I am sure that you have been born again. The truth has been made very, very clear in your life. You love to be in the presence of the fellowship of those who experience transforming power of God in their lives. Nothing like being with a bunch of guys at our sponsorship camp and the camaraderie, but also the discouragement that some of you guys couldn't come. And we talked about you and we loved you. That's fellowship. Laugh and giggle and torment each other. As Christians, we have a common interest, a common aspiration, a singleness of destination that we would see the world saved. Once you get saved, you have a job to do. Now it's your job to go tell somebody else. Somebody told that person that told you about Jesus, and now it's to pass it on. Thirdly, when a man gets saved, a new change in his conduct will be exhibited. Matthew 7:16, ye shall know them by their fruits. We're living in a day when many Christians think that once a person accepts Christ as a personal Savior, he can continue walking according to the course of this world. He cannot. You cannot do that. We have people today that think that... I asked a person that came to our church a while back, and I said, why did you come to our church? And they said, we went to a church, and I know the church very well. We went to a church, and the music guy got up and cursed in the service. She said, I thought I was hearing things, but he did it a couple other times. See, let me just pull them apart for a minute. There's a lot of churches today are trying to get down and dirty so that they think that they can win the loss that way. They play the rock music. Man, a downpour thing will happen over there. I'm telling you what. Can I just tell you what the commander at the sheriff's office said? I was sitting in the sheriff's office, in his office, and the undersheriff was there, and the commander. He runs all the jail. You guys know him. But anyway, that's supposed to be funny. Laugh a little bit, all right? And I was sitting there with Commander O'Fallon, and one of the chaplains came in who goes along with that crazy, worldly, ungodly rock music. And he said, hey, he said, boy, we had a great time at the downpour. And he was telling about it. And this is what the commander said, and this is what the undersheriff said. There's more people on drugs and dope and smoking pot at that downpour than there is during one of the rock music concerts that is of the world. And he said, I wouldn't give a... And he said it. Well, that chaplain quieted down after that. I'm telling you what, folks. When a person gets saved, his life should show it. His deeds should show it. His actions should show it. Why do you get saved? Do you get saved just to, you know, get fire insurance? Well, I'll get out of hell. I'm going to live back. No, you'll never be so happy in your whole life as when you divorce all that junk of the world and come clean with Jesus Christ. You're never going to be happy. The Bible says we are not to have anything to do with the dark side. We're supposed to live godly in this ungodly world. We are not to touch the things that are worldly. You got to be so careful. You parents, oh my goodness, your kids. Oh, they go to public school and they hear that the world is billions and billions and billions of years old. How? How do you know that? Were you there? All these fossils. Let me tell you something, fossil. A fossil is formed by the body of the animal immediately. If it wasn't an immediate thing, if it happened for years, it would rot away. There would not be no body. Figure that out. Come on. They said, well, there was no deluge. There was no Noah's Ark or anything. Well, tell me, when I went to Nepal and I'm getting people that went way up on the way up into the mountains, they're getting. I got one in my office, it's a sea animal, and you pop it open, and there he is. What in the world is he doing clear up there? I forget, 10,000 feet up. I'll tell you why. It's called a flood. I don't think those Napoli people carried those rocks up there. I just got a hunch about that, you know. And they're trying to always... What they're trying to do is say, we don't want to worship a God. We want to say what we did. We want to say that our world started by a Big Bang. Well, first of all, where did the gas come to make the Big Bang? Just asking. I mean, but they're trying everything they can. Listen, if you're a Christian, act like a Christian. I know politicians say, well, I'm born again. You're born again from what? Why don't you, if you're gonna say you're a Christian, then act like a Christian. I had a guy at the sheriff's office. I thank God he's gone. But he used to be one of the biggest braggers about being a Christian, but he was a drinker and a smoker, and he was vile. He'd talk about women. He was a womanizer. I'm not going to tell you what I wanted to. If you're a Christian, let your light so shine before men. The Bible said people know you by this, by you love the brethren. I hear Christians in churches are meaner than junkyard dogs, yelling and screaming and hollering and talking. Are you kidding me? Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Don't tell people you're a Christian. Please don't tell you. Hey, you go out to eat in a restaurant and you tear the place apart and don't leave a tract to no money. Oh, they're from Harry Baptist Church. Cheap. 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 Let's be Christian about the living Lord. Something happens. Be careful of your tongue. We all got a bad tongue. The Bible said it's set on fire from hell. We just can't. You can turn a great big ship by a little wheel. And you can turn a horse, a mighty horse, by rein. But this tongue, who could tame it? The power of Christ not only has its positive, but it also has its negative aspects. Many professors of religion are yielding to worldly sinful indulgence and practice. They are living unscriptural, unspiritual, powerless, and compromised. I have a friend of mine, good Christian man. Now he's drinking wine. He said, well, we live in the age of grace. And the Bible said drink wine. Where do you find that in the Bible? I don't find that in the Bible. Well, Pastor, just a little bit's okay. Well, maybe you're from a family that once you taste it, you might like it. And if you like it, you can't put it down. My suggestion is you don't do it in the first place. Be careful. There are churches today that they have flock meetings or shepherding groups, and they sit around and have a little wine. They say it loosens them up before they talk about the Spirit of God. They're loosed up. Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and the fool, the Bible said. The fool. What's wrong with us Christians? Man, I'll pull this one out. All right? And then, us Baptists, independent Baptists, never went to the movies. Never. Oh, my goodness. You were going to go to purgatory right there. So we didn't go to the movie house, but now we're bringing them into our house and watching things that are not proper. You see, Satan has his way of getting in every place he can. Are you uncomfortable yet? I'll keep going, amen. He gives every way he can to destroy us from within. Christians, stand for God. Ladies, dress your little girls like ladies. Hey, I want my wife to look like a lady. Guys, don't dress like girls. I know some of us would never pass for one. We were at Burger King yesterday, and I didn't even notice it. And Brother Jim said, "Did you see that?" I said, "What, Jim?" He said, that man in that red dress." I said, "What?" That shows you I ain't going to look for a cute one, amen? I didn't see nothing. Did you see it, Brother Adam? No, you wouldn't admit to it anyway, but anyway. I said, "What you talking about?" "Oh, yeah, preacher, you should have seen it. It was something." He said his hair was, there wasn't much hair on that head, and he had a little funny little beard coming down in. He's an ugly man. I said, "Why don't you say, yeah, man, you're ugly?" "But you had a dress on trying to cover something up." I don't know. But we as Christians, we've got to be careful about that stuff. And we've got to really be careful how we walk and how we live for God. Because people are watching us. How many has a child with you tonight, or you have a child living in your home? Would you raise your hand? I want to tell you something. They're God's little spies. And they see what you do, and they see how you holler at mommy and how you holler at daddy. They see how you're rude and how you're... Listen, that's not the way a Christian ought to act. And when that does happen, and it will, immediately, you go to the one you offended and say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And then you look at the child and say, "You know, Daddy wasn't very good doing that. I'm sorry." Could you keep them to a very strict deal? Why shouldn't you keep yourself to a strict deal? Well, I'll tell you what, I said I was sorry a lot of times to my boys. As a son, I shouldn't have done that. Especially when I was driving behind a slow driver. All right, Adam. His eyeballs are like that most of the time coming home, amen. I was within range of taking off. I hope tonight you live for God. I hope you're excited about having a heart change. Hope you're excited about being a new person and to serve God in a great way. I'm going to have a word of prayer. And if God's speaking your heart tonight, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Say, "Dear God, there's some things in my heart and my life. I don't know what they are, but you do. Your wife may not even know. Your husband may not know. Your daddy might not know. Your mama may not know. But you know." You say, "Dear God, there's some things I want to get straightened up in my heart and my life." Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now. May this church be a church that lives for you. And we're not a faking church. We're a church of people that are in trouble and have needs, and a church that's always constantly trying to straighten things out in our lives. Help us, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand. You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I do not have that heart of flesh. I still have a whole stony heart. There has not been a time in my life that I've accepted Christ, my personal Savior, and I want to do that. I want to shift out of that seat and come down here and meet me up front and say, 'Preacher, today I want Jesus.' You come. You're here tonight and you say, 'Preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's Baptism.' You come. You're here tonight and you say, 'Preacher, you know, there's some things in my life that have been going on, and I need God to take care of that for me. You know, God said, hey, I love you. And I'm with you. You're not alone. I'll take care of you. You just come on now and I'll help you.'" Say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. Come on, let me show you from the Word of God how you know if you're saved. Simple thing. You're Nate and you say, 'Preacher, there, I need to follow Lord and Believer's Baptism. I haven't went down in the water and up out of the water yet.' You come. Maybe you're here tonight and say, 'Preacher, there are some things that are going on in my heart and my life, and I need to get things taken care of with God.' Why don't you come? God loves the repentant heart. God loves those that want to serve Him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, with all their mind. I hope sometime this week someone will say, "Be you, Jesus." I hope somebody will say, "Be you, Jesus." And I hope you can say, "Son, I'm just one of his boys. I'm just one of his boys. I'm just one of his girls." Be you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd be with us tonight. Help us as we go over to building number 2 and enjoy the fellowship and the food. And we praise God for Chris and his wife, Marcy. I pray, God, you just bless them, bless their family, Lord. Lord, I pray you'd bless the food that we're about to eat, and we'd have a grand time over there. And all God's people said, and you're dismissed. We'll go right over to building number 2. There's plenty of food over there. And glad to